Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we're asking that the Holy Spirit will guide us, but that He will open our hearts and our minds, Father, to be receptive and give us the revelation and the truth, Father, of this Your Word, so that we can grow closer and walk stronger with the Lord and with the Spirit, to be able to do the things, Father, that You would have us to do. Let us know, Father, all things that You have for us so that we can be busy, Father, in doing and walking according to Your will and Your way. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You hear me all right? Okay. Right now, I've got no idea how loud I am. Now, anyway, we'll be talking to you a little bit here from Galatians chapter 1. I asked the Lord this morning what message to bring you tonight. This is what He gave me. A lot of things that, I don't know, we just kind of keep overlooking. All right, beginning here with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in time, past in the Jews' religion, now that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the brother of the Lord's brother. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now we ask the Holy Spirit to bring forth that which he would have each one of us to receive this evening, to help us to walk closer and stronger in faith and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we lose out in nothing, but that we will always be ready, willing, and able to work the work that the Lord our God will call upon us to do. And once again, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know that we can't make heaven on our own. We can't be saved on our own. There's only one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a way that God has given to you and I, even for that. And so many of us today are losing out because we are not following God's plan of salvation. And we are not walking according to his word nor his will. But we know Paul was not a good man. In fact, you won't find too many men in the Bible that were good men before God got a hold of them. they were all sinners, and some of them bad sinners, from committing murder on. And you can go all the way back in even before the law and find where it was happening. But you see, under the law, they was figuring how they could have salvation by themselves. Well, that just don't work. And there in that first couple of verses, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. This is for all churches, not just the one, but it is for all churches, because we are all to walk the same way. Seems like we can't get that across strong enough in this day and time to reach enough of mankind for all of us, especially those that attend church, to come together in unity and in faith, all teaching and believing the same thing, and that being this word of Almighty God. Not what we want it to say, but what it says. And make no mistake about it, it speaks strongly and it speaks truthfully. And if you walk by it, you'll find that you don't have as much problems as you think you do. I know a lot of them look at me today and they'll say, well, you got problems. Yes, I have. Made them myself. Lord didn't have anything to do with it. I did. But he hasn't quit using me. In fact, I'm getting stronger every day. I may not be getting stronger right now health-wise, but I'm getting stronger spiritually. And that's what counts. Because the Spirit will override this flesh one of these days. And I'll be where God wants me to be. Now, that first verse, you know, that's Paul letting you and I know that man had nothing to do with his apostleship. Not anything. And you know, I thank God I can stand with Paul on there on that. Man had nothing to do with mine, with my calling. It was all done by God. And I can stand with Paul also when he tells us he didn't learn it from man. Neither did I. When God called and put me in the ministry, I met with no other pastor. No one. I was even called out on my first revival and didn't even get to meet the pastor until the revival was over. And then I had just told that pastor they didn't have no business being there in that church. You see, the Word of God don't necessarily please mankind. And that's what most of us look for. Lord, you're supposed to please me. No. He's given us the truth so we can please him and make heaven our home. Paul sure didn't make a lot of friends either, did he? They tried and tried for years to cut him down. Didn't work. Finally ended up killing him. But you know, certain men of God have went through some horrible things. Look what the Apostle John went through. Can you really stop and think about John? Banned out of his own land, sent to the Isle of Patmos. But did God forget him? No. In fact, he gave him the strongest book of the Bible for our day and time. It's letting us know what is coming. They even tried to boil him in oil. That didn't work either. So you see, we don't have to worry about what man throws at us here or what Satan throws at us, because the Lord's always there and he'll see us through whatever we have to go through. It's not always enjoyable. You know, when they put him down that pot of boiling oil, I don't imagine that felt too good. And I'm sure he wasn't rejoicing right then. But he was probably rejoicing before he ever come out of it. That's like the things we go through. Once we know that we're not going through these things by ourselves, we know that the Lord Jesus is right there with us, he and the Holy Spirit both. Then regardless of what state we're in, we can rejoice. Well, now, Pastor, you don't mean that. Yes, I do. Because God's Word does. Now, verse 3 here, Paul's telling me, he says, grace be with you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. You see, that's the way we have to walk. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got no way at all. Everything has to pass through Jesus Christ. Even from God the Father, it comes back to you and I through Jesus. And it's brought to us by the Holy Spirit. But it all passes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, it's Jesus that's sitting on the right hand of God. He's right there. And he's working with us all the time. Now, verse 5, he says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We know we are to give God glory. And we do that by walking in his word and walking in obedience and bringing others in. We're helping to bring them in, because you and I don't bring them in. We just help. because we are there. And we speak as the Spirit gives us utterance, but God gives the increase. There's no other way about it. Now, right here is something that is greatly needed. And it really needs to be taught in our churches today. Starting here with verse 6. And for the next few verses, really. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You see, they was beginning to fall away. These Galatians were beginning to fall away and change things in the church to suit themselves and trying to bring in hearsays. And bring in traditions in all of their fathers. That don't work. And that's what's happened to a lot of our churches. We get a new pastor in the church, and he's going to pick up that work the other pastor leaves off. Because that's the way he's been taught. And it comes down to man's tradition instead of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's what they're doing today. They are perverting this word of Almighty God by teaching things that are contrary to his word. We've been over a lot of them many times. And we'll be going over them later on as we go. Because we keep forgetting a lot of them. Verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven. Now listen, I want you to really get the strength of this. How important and how strong this verse is. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. No man is to preach anything other than this word of Almighty God. Not even an angel of heaven. An angel of heaven goes to tell you something that's contrary to the word of God, he's cursed too. But you see, I'm not here to please man. And neither is God. He's here to help us. He's here to help those that are hungry for him, that wants to walk with him. He's right there. And he'll be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But now, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. There, right there, is three verses giving you the same thing and letting you know. You don't preach any other gospel. You preach according to this word. But do you know the word? But even greater than that, Do you understand the word that you do know? That's causing lots of trouble today. They know the word. They can even tell you where it's at, where it's written at. But they have no knowledge. Really, of what it is. And that's your baptism. Right here in most of your churches, they baptize you wrong. They'll tell you right where it's at. They'll give you the verse off. But they have no idea what that was about and when it was for. That was John's baptism under John. Well, John was wrong to Jesus. Is his baptism good for us today? No. And from the day of Pentecost on, every time that the apostles found one baptized that way in John's baptism, they rebaptized him in Jesus' name. It's all through the book of Acts. We need to do more studying today. And we need to really learn what we study. But learn when. How to rightly divide that word of truth. His word tells you not to rightly divide his word. What's that mean, to divide his word? Most can't tell you that. But it means for you to know to whom he is talking to, when he is talking to, what time dispensation was it, and is it still in effect today, or was it something that had been fulfilled? And you see, that's what happened to baptism. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was fulfilled with Jesus' death. That's why now, just as we are told in God's Word, and right after, in fact, the first message preached after the day of Pentecost come to a close, and the Holy Spirit was sent back to man, we were given the plan of salvation for our day and time. Because you see, Jesus had paid it all then. And he's the one. We're told throughout the Bible that Jesus is the one to pay the price for our sins. But we don't stop. We look at it, do we? Well, it's wrote in the Bible. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's wrote there. But it was for another time dispensation. Jesus was still here on this earth when that was done. When he sent them out and told them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He was still here on this earth. The church age had not started. They were still going by the law. And they were to be baptized in John's baptism of repentance. But after that, after that day of Pentecost, that changed. And when they want further proof of it, if they go on over to the 6th chapter of Romans, they'd find out why it changed. Because most today that's baptizing you don't even explain to you what is happening with you and to you as you're being baptized. Do they? Was you told that when you were baptized? Was you told what was happening to you? Other than you being dunked? Sprinkled? Well, that ain't right either. See? Because you see, when you're baptized, you're being buried with Christ. Now you bury a seed, you don't sprinkle it, you plant it. Sixth chapter of Romans tells us exactly what happens to you. That you are being buried with him. And tells you, by baptism. Let's go back there real quickly and take a look at that. I don't want anybody listening online saying, well, that man's still in the field. No. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, you're even being considered dead to sin. When you go and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you are being considered as being dead to sin. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You can't get any plainer. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You're putting on his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. That's what happens when I put you under that water. I buried you with him. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Think about it. And yet we have got 90% of our churches out here baptizing wrong. Doing absolutely nothing for the people. And they're going to be on that pastor's hands. When a pastor leads you astray, and you follow that way, and if you die not ready, your blood's on his hands. That's according to God's word too. Now, here's verse 10. It says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'm not here. I'm not called to be a pastor to please mankind. I've been called to please the Lord my God and to do what he asks of me to do, and to teach this gospel according to the way it is given to mankind. Think about that. But so many don't. Now, but I certify, brother, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after men. Paul letting them know. This is what I was talking about at the beginning. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now Paul got his straight from Jesus. I got mine through the Holy Spirit. But it all came through Jesus. And I didn't go to no seminary to listen to mankind. I didn't get with any other man at all before I started holding services. Pardon me a moment. All right. Now, Verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. We all know Paul's life before he got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I said he wasn't a good man at all. And profited in the Jews' religion. And you see, this is what most of your churches are teaching today. They're teaching a religion. Religion will take you to hell. They're not teaching Christianity. They're not teaching you the Word of God. They're not teaching you about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Father, and about the Holy Spirit. They're trying to take you back to man's ways and take you back under the law. But that's what most of them do today. They put you back under the law. They don't even know that they are doing that. But they are. You don't realize it, and they don't. But Satan knows, because he's the one that got them there. Now, 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, Paul is telling us there that God called him from his mother's womb. But he sure walked a lot of years against that. That called him. If God called him then. It probably did. Because you see, God knew you before you ever got to this earth. He did, James. He knew you before you were born. Just like he knows all of us. Before we were born. And that's why we're born. Because he knew us. And you may have been called before you was ever even in your mother's womb. But that'd be another message, because it's in the Bible too. Now, called me by his grace. He called him to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. And I can stand with Paul on that. I didn't go to man. I spent my time with God in his word and in prayer. And I spent a lot of hours there. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He's telling you exactly what he did. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Now, 3 years into the ministry, he's just now going to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. That was the two he saw at that time. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Sarah and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Churches in Judea didn't know him by faith to see him. He had not been there. But they was hearing about him, and the things that they were being told wasn't good. Because they're being told, that one now is one that has been persecuting the church. But God gave them an understanding. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. He's now preaching that faith that he was putting us in jail for and causing us to be put to death. But now they're not turning against him because the Lord Jesus has really been revealed through him and through his ministry. And this is what's to happen to all of us. Through your ministry, Dennis, through Kenny's ministry, through my ministry, people has got to know Jesus. And they've got to know who you are. That's the reason we don't hide nothing. I don't hide nothing from you. I'll tell you like it is. Now, and with this little bitty short verse here, the five words will close. And they glorified God in me. Paul said they glorified God in me. And this is something that we all need to really understand and know what is needed from us. They need to glorify God because of what we're teaching. We're not leading them astray, but we're giving it to them right out of this book. And we're not changing it to make it say things it don't say. You see, there's things that you've got to understand. I'm going to give you an example. Because I don't believe in a woman pastoring a church, I'm called a woman hater. But if there's a woman of God that comes here in this place, in this church, I'm not going to call her up here to speak to you. But when we go outside, she can prophesy to you. She can tell you about Jesus. Out there one-on-one. But he said in the church, she's not to speak. She's not to teach man in the church. But he also called him to prophesy. And he didn't say they couldn't prophesy to mankind. Only in the church. They're to keep silent in the church. And she can stand and talk to you. And they have been a lot of men that have really been saved by a godly woman talking with them, working with them. But it's what goes on in the church That's where we're concerned, about keeping things in order. Give you a moment to think about that. It's on the book. It's on there. We just have to keep searching. Keep searching, keep studying, keep praying for God to give you the revelation of what you study. And he will, but you've got to spend time with him. You can't just go to him in a 5 or 10 minute prayer and expect to get anything out of it. Now, he may only talk to you 5 minutes. He may not talk to you that long. But it may take you 30 or 45 minutes to get his word. Because it's according to what the Spirit is doing with you. So you talk with him. There's a lot of nights that I'll talk with him 4 or 5 times through the night. And a lot of nights, I'll just tell him, Lord, Heavenly Father, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. I love your word and I love to teach your word. Now be with me. And stop right there. Then these times I really pray. And that's most nights. But I don't shut my eyes and go to sleep without telling him I love him. I don't wake up and start my day until I tell him I love him. And it comes from my heart. And I do love him. I love him with all of my heart. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word for this evening. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for a place that we can come and spend time together to share your word and to help each other grow stronger in faith and in our love to you and to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit, in our love for the church. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Lord Jesus, we do pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, has fallen so far away. Help us to reach out, Father. Give us a revival in this area to where we can begin reaching, Father, those that are in need of a Savior, those that are in need of your word, rightly. Those that are hungry, Father. And Father, we pray that this land in which we live will repent of the sins it has brought upon its people, and that those that have done this and these things will be voted out of office, Father, will be removed, and others put in that will stand with your church with the Lord Jesus Christ. Work with us to put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And to help us put him back into every place he's been taken out of. Now, Father, our prayer list. As each name is called, we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will touch that one, fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, James Taylor, Dennis Lee, myself, and Father, all of our families, we all stand in need of more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to work with those of our families that are lost. Help us to be able to work with them, Father, giving them the word, getting them interested in, Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, till sometime they will come to a knowledge of knowing that they need him in their life, and go to him, confess their sins, bring him into their lives, and begin their walk with him, with you, and with thy word, and be on their road, Father, and salvation, and making heaven their home. Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, brothers in Christ. These all need touch, Father. Touch and fulfill their needs. Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg. Brother Meade County General Baptist Church. Pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, and Little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. These churches, Father, not only lighthouses, but make them places of refuge, Father, where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. Now, Father, the Johnson family, I pray for that family, Father. That family is in need of you. It's in need of the Holy Spirit working with them. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo, and her mother, Sue and David, Halen Goodman, Kelly Smith, and his wife, Karen. These all stand in need of a healing touch, Father. Touch them mightily and greatly, so they'll know that it was you that brought about the change. Now, Father, be with this church. Help us to build, Father, to build in number from this community, because this church is needed here, Father. And help us. Now, Father, be with us all as we prepare to separate for the night and go our own ways. Watch over each and every one of us, Father, until Sunday morning when we can come together again at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Father. So until then, be with each one. Keep us in health. keep us upon that pathway of righteousness. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Good night, all.